Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to an exciting and informative edition of High Velocity Radio. I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson in the Stone Payton seat here today on the program alongside Lee Cantor. Good afternoon, Lee.
Good afternoon, Ryan. How was your day? How was your afternoon? You made a trip to REI? I know that was on the agenda.
Maybe after work here today. Work. I'm going to go see what's on clearance over there for the upcoming year for all the outdoor activities. Let's make sure our listeners are connected with us on social media. You can follow the network Business Radio X on Twitter. Check us out there. And also on Facebook, you can leave your thoughts and comments there. And we'll be taking some photos of our in-studio guests. And here today, we are joined by... SK Commercial Realty, Sam Hoover, and John Poulos. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon. I'm all over the place here today. Sorry. Been a long day so far. Let's get right into it. SK Commercial Realty. Tell us about it, please.
Yes, SK Commercial Realty is a full-service real estate, commercial real estate group based here in Atlanta, Georgia. We have focused on the asset management, acquisitions, as well as healthcare, and also the tenant representation side, which is what Sam and I focus on. And we assist our clients in evaluating their real estate, their office space or industrial needs, and helping them out in relocating, renewing, or adding additional facilities.
Can you help us? Can you explain what tenant representation is for those who don't know? Because like when you buy your house, you get a real estate person. Is that a similar
relationship? It is. In the residential side, it'd be more like a buyer's broker or buyer's agent. The commercial real estate side has turned similar where you have two sides of the table.
Right.
People ride around and they see signs, come lease space in my building and call this person. That person is representing the landlord. His legal obligation is to the landlord.
So he's advocating for the landlord.
Period. By law in the state of Georgia, he's only looking out for the interests of one party, the landlord.
Right. So but if everybody knows, that's not a terrible thing.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's their job.
Right.
But on the other hand, then you come in and want to lease space in that building. There's nobody really looking out for your best interests.
Right.
Because he's trying to maximize the income for the landlord and the building. That's correct. So back in the 80s is basically when it started, when tenant reps started coming around, where somebody wanted to look out for the interests of the tenant.
Right.
And so I've been doing it for about 30 years. And
so now the mechanics of that works. I go to you. So I'm not going to a building.
That's correct.
I'm building a relationship with you and you're kind of watching my back.
That's correct.
And we can go to that same building, though, together,
right?
I'm not being penalized by working with you.
Not at all. In fact, the commissions are built in Atlanta, and we're talking about Atlanta, Georgia, and in most markets, but Atlanta, Georgia, about 95% of all transactions are done with a tenant representative. The landlords know this, and it's built into their pro formas. In fact, the landlord brokers aren't even out there trying to get your business. They're trying to get our business. We are their clients, you tenants. They want us to bring you to them.
Because you're generating leads for them.
That's correct. You'll do one transaction with that landlord.
Right.
We'll do 10 with them this year.
Right.
So it behooves them to come to us. So yes, can you go to that building and lease office space? Of course you can.
Mm-hmm.
Will you get the greatest deal? Likely not.
And your job, though, is to educate me about the area. And it might be that building that I saw on the corner might be perfect, but it also, there might be a great deal next door
that
I wouldn't even know about.
And there's also a process. I mean, there's space plans to deal with, space planning to deal with, construction of the improvements,
the build out,
managing those dollars. Sometimes, then of course, there'll be credit issues with you. They might want a personal guarantee. They might want enhanced credit. It is part of our job to minimize those areas for you, maximize the tenant improvement dollars. And the rate, I mean, the rates are tough to deal with because they've got to get their number, where we can help with the concessions and other areas and then save you money and time to do a real estate deal and to go through the whole minutia of finding real estate, finding the right a building, going through the space plan meetings, dealing with getting a lease document negotiated takes days and hours and months, actually, because it's time consuming. It takes you away from doing your core business, which I don't know about you, but I'm sure you bill fairly highly. And if you're not doing your job, you're not making money for your company.
And that's probably one of the biggest reasons to go with a trusted advisor like you, because you're watching my back. You know what I don't know, because like you said, you're doing deals every day. This is all you think about 24/7, where I might only do this once every 5-10 years, right?
That is absolutely correct. And furthermore, the some landlords are more easier to deal with than others. So you're dealing with us who know the landlords, who break bread with these landlords, who know them intimately in terms of doing business transactions. We know where they're going to be and where they're not. You've got a budget. You want to be in that billing. You know, guys, they're not going to get there. I can assure you that. Let's not waste time with that asset. Let's go to another one. Mm-hmm. These people, they'd love to have you, et cetera.
Now, what does the Atlanta market look like nowadays?
That's a good question. And right now, the Atlanta market has really turned into a landlord market. We have not seen this in, especially for an extended period of time, in my entire real estate career.
And when you say a landlord market, that means that there's more demand than supply?
That's correct. There's a lot of demand. Rates have spiked over the last 24 to 30 months. Rates have spiked 25 to 30% in some submarkets.
Wow.
And that's scary.
Now, are there parts of town that are better than others or more opportunity? Maybe?
Absolutely. Sam, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I've been I'm new with SK Commercial, been working here closely with John and cutting my teeth in some of the areas that I really am familiar with, the areas that I grew up, one of which has been Peachtree Corners. Been really studying and following what the development is like over there. Several years ago in the mid-80s, Paul Duke developed a whole bunch of office space in Peachtree Corners that has mm-hmm. recently become underutilized, and the city would like to see it be reoccupied with tenants. So they're doing a lot of things to try to get millennial workforce out into the area.
Aren't there some accelerators being built there?
There are
co-working spaces?
Absolutely. There are two incubators, one put on by the city, and right now another one by Mark Metz's group, mm-hmm. 22 Tech
Park. And that's relatively new, isn't it?
They're both, yes. Yes, they're both relatively new. That's true. So some of the initiatives put forth by the city include more multifamily high-density apartment buildings. They have a new city center going up on the east side of 141 across from the Forum, you might be familiar with, mm-hmm. And a multi-use sort of belt line that they'll go across gas easement. All of those things are basically trying to pull a workforce out of the inner cities, out to where the mayor likes to talk about our trees, because we have quite a bit of trees right out there, unlike inside the city here. Mm-hmm. One thing I like to tell, especially technology companies, because it is kind of geared towards that out there, is, you know, it's a great market out there. There are things that are coming that if you can kind of stave off rising rents, which we do expect to happen at some point, it's a great area.
But right now it's kind of more affordable than other parts of the city.
As far as rent goes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think Class A, we're looking in the low 20s right now. But like I said, we'll expect to see that rise as these projects get underway.
Other areas that are of value would be downtown. Downtown has been I shouldn't say can't get off the ground. It has been a vacant market. It's a fairly vacant market, and there is definitely value in downtown mm-hmm. Atlanta. Some of the Northeast as well, up at the 85 corridor, you can find some value up there as well.
How far up?
Oh, getting up into the Duluth area, up that way.
Uh-huh.
The areas like Buckhead, Midtown, here in the Perimeter Central, North Central.
North Alpharetta.
And North Alpharetta. Those areas have really been... have seen the lack of supply and the demand. We call what happened in the market we're at right now, which is the North Central market, the State Farm effect. State Farm came into this market about 5 years ago and literally overnight leased up over 1 million square feet of office space in various buildings, 100,000 feet here, 300,000 right. square feet there. And now they're completing their own campus. They're about completing their that development. They're starting to move people in this first quarter of this year. Mm-hmm. And the good news is for us tenants is they are starting to sublease space. As a matter of fact, they have 310,000 square feet for sublease in the terraces building right around the corner here. So we're seeing, so back to the point, when State Farm took all the space and other tenants tried to come in or find space, they couldn't. So they were moved into the Buckhead area or the Northwest. And the same thing happened. All the space was taken up. And to compound the problem, none of these markets, or the city for that matter, has built any new spec supply in the last 5 years. So yes, you see some cranes. Most of the cranes you're seeing are residential or build to suits. Like the State Farm was a build to suit, meaning it was built directly
just
for that
tenant. Right.
Yes. The Northwest, the Cumberland Galleria area, that is an area that's still kind of a value, but their rates have recently spiked. The Braves development is spurred people to come out in that area. HD Supply is building a build to suit, as is Synovus. Riverwood 200 is a building that came out of ground with 80 to 85%
so pre-leased. But at one time there were developers would build buildings in the hopes of just filling it with random business.
That would be spec. They would get their money, they'd get approval for loans, and they would just build buildings without one tenant in there.
Right.
The Alliance Center. Three Alliance Center at the Buckhead Loop or Lenox Road in 400 with the funky windows. That's the last spec building that's been built. Mm-hmm. And they recently did a transaction for 75,000 feet, and that building is not even open yet.
So now, in your opinion, the market could handle some of that, like some spec building?
Yes, it probably could, but that's not going to happen because the lenders aren't going to lend that there to kick off a building. Now you're going to need to get about 60% pre-leased. And this is not a really big pre-leasing city.
Mm-hmm. So now, can you take us through the process of, say I'm a business and maybe I'm in another city and I want to come to town here. What is the process of I call you up? What are some questions you're going to ask me, and how am I going to go about doing?
Hopefully you found us through our website, which is
probably the radio show. That's where
the radio show. Yeah, definitely.
But you would find us, or we would find you,
right?
And we would try to meet with you and talk more about your basic parameters. Where do you want to be?
Right.
What's your budget? What your business objectives are? What your growth is going to be?
But how do you counsel somebody that's from out of state? Like, how do they even know where they want to be?
Typically, they will find that out through their objectives, what their business mm-hmm. is. If they're looking for employment, what kind of employment, employees they need to hire.
And what's your sweet spot of companies you serve?
In terms of size
industry?
Industry. Sam's focused in on the technology sector.
Yeah, right. I've been spending a lot of time going to these different incubators throughout all the city and learning about what's going on in the technology world and entrepreneurship in Atlanta. And
so you're looking for companies that maybe just got funding or they haven't got funding yet?
Smaller companies are really nice to work with. As somebody at my stage, it's a good fit because
you can grow with them.
I can grow with them, exactly. And some of the larger brokers that are handling larger deals, they just don't really have the time or the interest in dealing with these small companies at this stage.
And that's true. My career was revolved around law firms, insurance companies.
Okay, let's take a law firm that maybe they're in another market and they said, hey, we want to open up an office here in Atlanta. So what is that? What are some of the first questions you ask them?
I would ask them if they thought about it. Typically, they're going to have a partner in Atlanta that they've already got, and that person's going to guide where they're going to be. It's usually near the decision maker.
And they live
in Midtown.
Right, so Midtown's probably a good spot.
It seems like Midtown is a big law firm area.
It used to be downtown.
It was closer to the courthouse, but Midtown has become a big law firm area and still is. We would put together a survey based on their parameters. Let's just call it 10,000 square feet for the sake of argument. And they've got a budget of $25 to $30 a square foot. Mm-hmm. We can put together a survey based on with each property that meets these parameters, real-time numbers, dollars per square foot. That's the price. It'll be on an annual basis. It'll have what the landlords are going to be giving the tenant for tenant improvement dollars because we have to build out the space. There's parking fees, what that's going to be, perhaps free rent. There'll be floor plans involved because most of the space is second generation, meaning it was already occupied. So there'll be a space plan showing what's already up there. And then we'll go over that with the tenant. And then, of course, have to schedule a time for that tenant to actually go out and look at three or four or five of these properties so that they can touch it and feel it and walk through it and make some decisions for themselves. There's now, only so much we can do.
Do you help them with the, you know, I want a staircase to go from one floor to the other and the design part, or is that their...
That's a good question. And on a 10,000 foot prospect or above, I would bring in I would recommend we bring in a space planner that the landlord's going to pay for and do what we call a space programming. So we can get an idea. I need 10 offices that are this size, I need five offices, that I need some open area, I need conference rooms, etc. Right. And the space planner can walk them through that process. It's better to go with experts. Our industry is really focused, like we are focused on office. They're industrial brokers and there are design people. And I like to give the design people.
So you stay in your lane.
I stay in my lane. Exactly. Some people think they can do it all. That's fine, but right. I don't. And from that space plan, we have an idea of how, what the, or that space program, we have an idea of how big the space needs to be and then go tour as we suggested. And then of course, from that point, we narrow it down to a couple. We love that building, that building, and that building. Well, then the next step in the process would be to get a test fit space plan done in each one of these. The landlord wants to know what you're going to be doing in their space. They're going to know how much they're going to want to know how much money they're going to have to come out of pocket with to get you into that space. So then they can propose better terms for you to right. entice you to their building.
And then some of the negotiation is around, oh, I can give you a deal on parking, or we'll throw in the gym membership, or what are some of the ways that you negotiate?
The negotiations are basically, there is some room in the rate, minimal, but I like to focus more on tenant improvement dollars, the escalation policy, meaning how much the rent annually will escalate. Typically it's 3%. They don't like to mess with that either, but that's somewhere where we can win some
battles.
There
is some room.
There's some room there. And free rent. They're going to be offering free rent. And tenants like free rent. It helps them get in there. Sometime they may be leaving the space behind and there's a month or so left on that. So they don't have overriding rent, and free rent is a good way to entice a tenant in there. And yes, parking as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, how, if I'm in an existing space, because probably a lot of your clients are already in existing space.
Yes.
How far out am I beginning at least a relationship with you to kind of poke around to see what is going to be out there? Is this something I do 6 months, a year, 2 years?
That's a great question. I tell people, by the day I meet you, it's going to be 2 years before I do business with you. That's just my sales cycle. But if I'm, we recommend that our tenants look at this about 18 months prior to their lease expiration. And the reason being is it's very important. You need to create leverage with these landlords. Creating leverage is probably the most important thing we can do to, especially for a renewing tenant, and especially for a renewing tenant who does not want to move. We can't let them know we don't want to move.
Right.
So we create this leverage. And right when you hire me and Sam, you've already created leverage with the landlord because they know that you're out there in the market looking at all the different opportunities.
So you can help me with my existing.
Absolutely.
So if I meet you today, my thing ends in 2 years or 18 months, even my existing deal I have now that I didn't involve you, I can now use you and then get,
That's correct. 90% of my business is done with renewing.
Really?
Right now, 90%. Wow. And in the, depending on the submarket you're in, we can even early renew you. If you're in a submarket, say you're in downtown, that's right. not as active as Buckhead or Midtown, and you've got 2.5-3 years left on your lease, and perhaps you've escalated up above market.
Right.
So you're paying $22 a square foot when the same building is leasing the same space
like
to a brand new person, $20
right.
a foot.
Right.
Well, we can go in there and renegotiate that lease with 2-3 years left on the deal, put some cash into the space to redo it. Maybe the build out's not working for you as it used to.
Right.
You've changed to an open floor plan, for example. And then renew the lease early and bring the rate down to the current market rate. That's very popular when the market's low.
So whether, I mean, it's worth having a conversation with you, even though, you know, I'm just, you know, halfway done.
It's always if a real estate broker calls you, talk to them, because there's something there. We do, and which brings up the fees. Well, how do you get paid, John? If I'm going to talk to you, aren't you going to want some money? Well, no, we get paid when a transaction is completed, and our fees come from the landlord. So in your example that you have 2 years left on your lease and you're thinking about renewing, and you've brought me in there and I'm advising you, Sam and I are advising you and making recommendations. You say, well, that sounds great, but you know what? I think we're going to move, and we still got 2 years. That's fine. All right, we'll wait it out another 6, 8, 10 months, then we'll start the moving process.
Right.
Because if you're going to definitely move, the process is about 6 to 8 months.
Right.
From start to finish to moving in. Now, if you're looking to renew, then we need to start a little earlier, because we can create that leverage and see if the landlord will play ball with us. And then again, once a transaction is fully completed,
and that's signing the new lease.
Signing the lease, and right, the landlord signs it. Then we get paid by the landlord. Uh-huh. Is the commission baked in the rent? Absolutely.
Right.
I'm not going to sit there and lie to you, but it's going to somebody. It's either going to the
even
landlord.
Even if I just resign, somebody
resign, it's going to somebody. Right. Somebody's getting a fee. Trust right. me. I'll put it like, have you ever bought an airline ticket to California and you call up Delta and go, hey, I want to go fly to California? Sure. Yeah, for me, my face, it's $500 ticket. Great, thank you. You pick up the phone and call your travel agent and say, I want to go to California. And they go, I got your flight. It's $490. Same seat.
Right, nothing's
changed.
Right. And then, but in each case,
the travel agent's getting a fee.
Right. And the Delta person.
And Delta's getting paid. Right. So that's a fairly good analogy that somebody told me years ago.
Now, you mentioned that Sam is kind of new with your organization. Can you talk about how you kind of groom a young person and how you get them involved, what you look for?
Yes, that's a good one. We, Tom Curbo and Hugh Scott III brought me on board about a year ago, because SK Commercial was focusing on healthcare acquisitions, property management, landlord representation, and project management. Mm-hmm. They did not have a full-blown tenant representation division of the company. So they brought me on board to...
And this is what you have been doing.
And that's what I've been doing for 25, 30 years. They brought me on board to kick that off, since I've been doing it a while and have good relationships in the brokerage community. Yes, we're looking to hire, and I found Sam through the grapevine. Sam was recently out of college and had been working, and Sam and I got along real well through the interviews I had with him. But I also like the fact that Sam was working other jobs to make some money. Our job is a commission only job, mm-hmm, and it takes time to build up your book of business. Sam was willing to work two jobs so he could continue working in the commercial real estate business and get it going. And I'm proud to say that he completed his first transaction about 3 weeks ago, and he's already working on another one that he's dug up.
And if I could jump in real quick, it was a long process of going through different interviews with different kinds of groups of all different sizes. And I was looking for something in particular. I found that in John, and that is that someone who is going to bring me under their wing and really walk me through the process, because there's a lot of programs out there that groups that offer if they're interested in you, which is more of like a training cycle. It's not really getting into the transactions, which is really what I was looking for. And I had been advised to look for someone like that. It wasn't very easy to find somebody that was at the right point of their career to be able to give that to me.
Right.
But I found that in John.
Now, what was your degree in?
It was an economics and real estate based degrees. There's 2 degrees.
So you wanted to be involved in real estate?
Sure. It's kind of been in my family for a long time. My dad was an industrial real estate broker from in Texas. My mom's father was in land acquisitions for AT&T for a while, long before that. So it's kind of a tableside discussion, has been my whole life.
Mm-hmm. So you've been involved in some, so you were educated about it in a macro way, at least.
Sure. Yeah. University of Georgia. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, so what got you interested in the startup community?
You know, that's a really good question. I started getting more involved as I learned about what Technology Park was in Peachtree Corners and really what was the driving factor behind its development in the mid 80s. And I started tying in with stuff like the incubators and learning what some of my friends have gotten going that I haven't spoke to in years, but now they're running these relatively, you know, successful technology companies. Tying in with their networks probably is what started it off. And then realizing that, you know, now the federal government's putting money into Atlanta for technology groups. I just kind of started realizing that this is a really good network to tie into, to build my network around me.
Now, how do you see all of the development of these co-working spaces? Is that, are you happy about that? Is that an area where you prospect?
It's amazing. I love going to visit them.
Because, I mean, just a few years ago, there weren't that many. There were only a handful.
Now
it seems like there's one on every corner almost.
Yeah, you saw a lot of traditional office space before several years ago, and now you're seeing these things pop up. And these young startup companies love them. They're great. They're open, usually polished concrete floor, ceilings.
And they have all the amenities, and it's flexible leases.
They're flexible in leases. They don't have the amenities that a building like this, Glen Lake, would have, for instance.
Well, they have amenities that they care about, like, you know, couches and, you know, ping pong tables.
Free beer a lot of the time. Free beer is important.
So those are many, you know, the classic ones.
Right.
A downtown office building.
But typically, they're going to get priced out of that. Those, as they grow, the co-working environments are going to, they're very expensive on a per square foot basis. And sooner or later, a tech company is going to outgrow it.
Right. Especially if they get any type of funding.
Right. And that's when we come in.
Right. So do you work with those kind of equity groups and venture capital funds?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a good friend that I work closely with, and we trade, you know, conversations about what groups we're working with, who we've met all the time. I'm pretty much his contact for when he has a group that's looking at getting out of there, whatever kind of space it is, whether it's the bottom house of a bottom floor of a house, rather, or a co-working space. He's in the conversation. As I meet a group, they're going through different rounds of funding. I try to bring him into the conversation as well. Absolutely.
Now, I know, like, executive suites, they work closely with commercial real estate groups for lead gen in both directions, I would imagine.
Yes.
So it's the same situation with these co-working spaces?
Well, the management of co-working spaces, they haven't really come to us for lead generations like the Regis's of the world have. Regis's like us because we are out there with tenants. My experiences with the co-working folks are right in with the tech companies,
right,
or the colleges, and bringing them out of there.
So it's more like they're getting the people right out of college.
That's correct.
Or they might even be in college.
That is correct.
Word of mouth, social media, they're like mom and pop that really get heard about through the technology networks. Mm-hmm. Now I like to build, I love to build relationships with these folks. And I've been doing that aggressively. And the reason for that is I want them to know that I'm out there they can't be everywhere, but I'm out there all the time. And I have different groups that would like to hear about their co-working space. So I'm just as interested in bringing groups in to see if it's a good fit for them in their co-working space as I am being a part of the conversation when they're ready to move out.
Now, what do you need the most of for your business? I mean, I know clients is obvious, but like more, what relationships and what groups kind of is the...
You know, I asked that to brokers that have been in the business a little longer than me. Hey, what kind of relationships do I need to build? Where are the most of my business going to come from? They always say the same thing. You know, Sam, I haven't found the right person in the right industry that has given me the most regular leads.
It
comes from everywhere. All this it's information about the growth of the company, what's going on with the buildings in the market. Is it trading hands and ownership? I mean, John, do you agree with me there?
I do. For me, most of my business is now in this stage of my career is repeat business or referral business. However, I'm still out there digging up new business through networking at church, through my son and my daughter's school, coaching a little league team. Those are great areas to find business.
But you need to know the owners of business.
The owners, CFOs. We love CFOs, CEOs. Those are the people that we like to.
And really at any stage of their business. Right? Because they could have two people in a basement and that could be good for you. Or they could have 200 lawyers somewhere and that's good for you.
Right.
Too.
It's incumbent of us to stay in touch with these people. So like I said, I meet you today. 2 years later, we do business. But throughout that 2 years, we've made contact. Hey, how you doing today? What's going on? How's the business? Are you growing? Sending articles, just staying, you know, touch points with these people.
Right.
And back to SK Commercial, just one more time. We're still looking to hire brokers. I'd love to hire another experienced broker to help, us grow our tenant representation division.
And then, so what qualities are you looking for? That go-getter?
Somebody who's been in the business 5+ years.
So you want them to be in the real estate?
Loved for them to have been in the business and have, and maybe are tired of the shop that they're at. A lot of folks that have been in the business for a while with some of the larger shops sometimes get tired of the minutia, the splits that they're experiencing with that particular shop may not be as fruitful as what we can offer, and maybe their working environment is not what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. And it's time for them to make a change, just like in any business.
Well, and Sam, what for you, what does a typical day for you look like?
Well, early on, for me right now, it really depends. You know, like John said earlier, I just a few weeks ago closed the first deal that I brought to the group. So I'd spend a good bit of time on that. You know, on a day-to-day, I'm making a lot of cold calls. I'm cold calling a lot.
Who are you calling?
You know, it really depends. I like to do use financials of a market to figure out if loans are coming to maturity on certain buildings. That's a good reason to call somebody. Basically, if I can call them and give them good, real information about what's going on and what to expect, it's a good cold call because it makes it a little bit warmer. Besides cold calling, I'm going to these networking events constantly. Going to a lot of these tech.
So you're just hanging out in the tech arena and like you're going to the pitch things and
absolutely.
The incubator
love
get-togethers
them.
And
yeah.
things like that.
Love them.
Down in Atlanta Tech Village is a right. great place.
Yeah.
For these businesses.
You know, I really like the Switch Yards. They put on something mm-hmm. called the Consumer Show.
Sure.
I really enjoy going to those.
And Industrious, I think, is in Ponce City Market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I've heard about that. I'm not as familiar with that one.
Yeah. There's Rome is in a bunch of different locations. Sure. There's, what is the one? Strongbox West. She's one of the first people to do a co-working space in town.
Yeah, we went and visited them over there.
Yeah, I met Amy Hoover, met with her a couple of times, yeah.
So,
I'd love to get your perspective on technology, how it's helping you reach more clients, like Video Element. We hear that all the time now. How is that impacting you and your outreach?
You know, it's pretty... how do I put this?
Tough question, I guess.
It is
tough. Technology is changing all day, every day. So you got to stay trending. What's hot out there? Like the Video Element again. Are you incorporating that at all?
You know, I have seen virtual tours and stuff, and that's typically more lens towards the landlord side of the business, not so much the tenant side. But there are a couple big softwares out there that real estate groups like John and I really tend to mm-hmm. lean on quite heavily. One of which is CoStar. CoStar is a huge tenant in Atlanta, and it adds a lot to. It's a very powerful
what
software.
What do they do?
What they do is they basically it's a conglomeration of information about the lease expirations, maybe the square footage sizes, and a little bit of information usually about the growth of the business. It gives you a little bit of something to talk about, a little bit something to know when you're calling on these businesses. Mm-hmm. CoStar has been evolving for years and years, probably decades at this point. But it's a really powerful software. We use that a lot. And the other one that I like that I mentioned before about the loan maturity of commercial properties would be called TREP. TREP is pretty powerful in that way too. It provides a little bit of information about loans in the market.
And that's for just the commercial realtor to use to help figure it out? Or as a tenant, is this a technology
you know,
I need to be?
That brings me to another good point. That's a good question. Yes, those are typically, because they are relatively expensive softwares to get a hold of. They're usually used by brokers. But that brings me to the next thing, which is LoopNet. And LoopNet can be a great thing. I mean, now you have tenants that...
What's LoopNet?
It's a software. It's a listing service. It's a commercial real estate listing mm-hmm. service, but it's open to the public. You don't have to pay to get on there.
It's
and
owned
look.
By CoStar.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Now, what will happen there is that a business say, all right, we need to grow or we need to move out. Let's just say of the house. Let's use the house or the garage for an instance. And we need to get some real office space. Well, the CEO, the CFO, the founder is going to tell administrative assistant, will you get on CoStar? LoopNet rather. Will you get on LoopNet and do a little preliminary search of
So I can do this
area?
As an individual?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
Actually, he probably wouldn't even say get on LoopNet. He would just say, go look around for some office space online. And when you put in 3,000 feet of office space, LoopNet's going to be the first thing that comes up.
Uh-huh. Right. And so that's a way for people to just look into what's
kinda
going on in the market.
Kind of get a ballpark kind of idea.
Absolutely.
That's very helpful for sure, because people almost know instantly whether they want the space or not, probably based on location and what it looks like for sure. So you, if you get some sort of tender for office space, swipe left for yes, swipe right for no, or is it the other way? I don't know, Lee.
I've been married for too long to know anything right. about that.
But technology is changing, so I'm sure there'll be something out there from the tenant side of things or from the broker side of things to help connect the spaces with the people.
Likely there will be, and you know, the landlords, but at the end of the day, they're still going to need somebody to look out for their interests.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think the biggest benefit, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, is, but you do this every day. I'm going to do this once every 10 years, maybe. I want someone that knows what they're doing and knows what I don't know. I mean, I want someone watching my back. This is, I mean, it makes no sense to not even consider talking to a tenant.
It's funny. We hear it all the time. You know, I've got a real good relationship with the landlord. Well, you know
they
what?
They love me.
They love you. Yeah, right. They love you. But
because you're paying every month. That's why
exactly.
They love you.
And you're paying above market.
Right.
But you would not represent yourself in the court of law.
Exactly. But and there's no cost to hiring you guys.
That is,
it's people don't understand. So it doesn't.
I think people still think that they'll carve out that $10,000.
Right.
And they're not. I can right. assure you, they're not.
Exactly. So if somebody is in the process of moving, considering moving, has a lease that maybe they just would want to talk to you about, is there a website? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Absolutely.
SK Commercial Realty or SKCR.com, www.skcr.com is the best way to find information about John and myself. We've got our information, phone numbers, email address up there.
And then, so you guys are bullish about Atlanta. If you're out of state,
very bullish about Atlanta. Atlanta's got great. You can get employment here. The rates are still very low compared to the country as a whole. Chicago, Dallas, New York, San Francisco. I mean, all right. Microsoft, for example, is paying 30. They just signed a lease up in Avalon. Avalon is way the heck away up in
right.
Alpharetta right. at $37 a foot. Ooh. They haven't even moved in. $37 a foot in Alpharetta, you're kidding me. Well, Microsoft has no problem with it because in San Francisco, they're probably paying $90 a foot.
Really?
And in New York, they're probably paying $90. And in Chicago, they're probably paying $75. So coming to Atlanta and paying $37 a
right,
foot for the newest, greatest
right,
building.
Right, they're doing cartwheels, right?
Exactly. And so, you know, you come to Atlanta, you can get office space in Atlanta anywhere, but decent, good office space in a very good submarket for $20 to $25 a square foot.
Right. And especially they work with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll have a good time with it as well.
All right. And the website again is skcr.com.
That's correct.
All right. Well, thank you all for being part of the show today.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sam and John. And thank you, listeners, for joining us here today on High Velocity Radio. If your company is out there doing something interesting to generally serve your market, your community, your profession, pitch us your story on the contact page at highvelocityradio.businessradiox.com. We'll see you next time on High Velocity Radio.